Morning, this is Kate Olson from the Cass County Office of Iowa State University Extension and Outreach with your Extension Report on this Wednesday morning. Well, we're approaching the end of November, which means we have two things coming at us in a pretty big hurry. The first of those would be Thanksgiving, and the second is winter. We're going to talk a little bit about both of those things on the program today. First of all, as we head towards winter, one of the things that people often start doing is bringing things indoors, starting to batten down the hatches a bit. One of the things you can't bring indoors is some of your outdoor trees and shrubs. So how do you help make sure that they make it through the winter with minimal damage? And by this, we're talking certainly if you have those older, larger trees on your property, they're probably pretty well adapted to your site conditions. But the ones that you want to be concerned about would be any newly planted trees, smaller shrubs, or even well-established shrubs if they are in susceptible locations. One of the things we see every year would be rabbits or other wildlife damaging those smaller trees and shrubs. The best way to prevent this is a little exclusion, especially when you're talking about rabbits. You can place chicken wire fencing or hardware cloth around your vulnerable plants. To adequately protect them, you want to make sure that material is high enough that the rabbits won't be able to climb or reach over the fence after a heavy snow, and that, of course, is the key. In most cases, a fence standing 24 to 36 inches tall should be sufficient, but again, you want to make sure that those rabbits are not only unable to climb the fence when it's bare ground, but once you have 2 foot tall snowdrifts, can the rabbits still get over that fence? So again, 24 to 36 inches is a good height for that chicken wire or hardware cloth. The other thing you want to prevent is them crawling underneath the fencing. To prevent that, you can either bury the bottom 2 to 3 inches below the ground or pin the fencing to the soil with some sort of U-shaped anchor pins to make sure they can't wiggle under there. Those rabbits, of course, are wanting to get in to nibble off any of the green foliage or certainly the bark of some of those younger trees, especially if we do have a winter where we have heavy snow cover and they're not able to get to grass or other green plants growing on the ground. Their next source of food and moisture will be to start nibbling on some of the bark and green parts of those, especially evergreen plants. If you have small trees, you can protect those by placing the white plastic tree guards around the trunks. Since the weather in late fall in Iowa is unpredictable, you do want to have those materials in place probably by mid-November, so any time now would be good. We know it's supposed to start getting cold, and we don't want to be tromping out there in the snow trying to get those guards on. Some people do use black guards. You do have to be cautious with those, however, that black can magnify the heat of the winter sun and actually cause sun scalding and heat damage. And also fool that tree into thinking that it is much warmer outdoors once it heats up inside that black protective sleeve that so many people place around their trees. Also, if you are fencing around your trees and shrubs to prevent rabbit damage, you want to make sure that you check those plants after a heavy snow to make sure that the rabbits are not able to reach or climb over those, as when there's heavy snow on the ground would be the time when they are most susceptible. If there is snow piled up around those plants, just remove some of that snow so there is a barrier. Another thing that we see often in winter is damage to trees and shrubs from some of the de-icing salts and chemicals that we often use to keep ourselves safe and to keep our sidewalks and driveways clear this time of year. You can start by just using these de-icing salts prudently. Before applying salt, wait until the precipitation has ended. Remove as much of the surface ice and snow as possible, and use the de-icing salts at a rate sufficient to loosen the ice and snow from the driveway. Then remove the loosened ice and snow with a shovel, and obviously making sure that when you are pushing that off to the side of a traveled driveway or sidewalk, you're not piling it up to melt around the base of a plant, evergreen bush, something like that, where all of that accumulated salt is going to melt down into the root area. You also want to mix salt with abrasive materials such as sand or kitty litter. A good rule of thumb is about 50 pounds of sand mixed with 1 pound of salt can work quite effectively to maximize and still do quite a bit of melting on that snow or ice material. While the amount of salt applied to major roadways cannot always be controlled, you can take steps to minimize damage if you have plants you would like to keep that are very near those traveled roadways. As soon as the ground thaws in early spring, you can heavily water those areas where salt accumulated over the winter. A thorough soaking will help flush the salt from the root zone of the plants. If possible, you may also want to look at some landscaping options to alter the drainage pattern, so winter runoff drains away from your ornamental plants instead of draining and sitting near the root systems of those ornamental plants. If you do have a place you need to plant a tree, you can select a salt-tolerant tree species: bur oak, northern oak, northern red oak, honey locust, northern catalpa, Kentucky coffee tree, horse chestnut, and eastern red cedar are all salt-tolerant tree species. Something else we're going to talk a little bit about, and we'll continue this next week, is talking about the turkey. When you're looking at turkey as we head towards Thanksgiving, be prepared. Make sure you have ample space in your refrigerator before you purchase the turkey so it can be immediately refrigerated when it comes home. There is no quality difference between a fresh or frozen turkey, although fresh turkeys do have shorter shelf lives. By purchasing a frozen turkey, you can get the turkey in advance and take advantage of special sales, while fresh turkeys provide convenience because they do not require thawing. When purchasing a whole turkey, you want to purchase at least 1 pound of uncooked turkey per person. That way you'll be sure to have enough for dinner and probably leftovers as well. Keep in mind that a whole turkey takes about 24 hours per 4 or 5 pounds to thaw in the refrigerator, so a 15-pound frozen bird, for example, would take 3 to 4 full days to thaw in the refrigerator. Make sure you keep that in mind when looking at the size of the bird. If you multiply that up, a 20-pound bird could take up to 5 or 6 days to completely thaw in the refrigerator. So keep that in mind as you plan for your celebrations next week. Ideally, you want to purchase your frozen turkey as far in advance as possible to safely thaw it in the refrigerator. If you are buying a fresh turkey, however, you want to purchase it only 1 to 2 days before the meal and make sure that it stays well refrigerated the entire time. Also, when thinking about defrosting, you make sure you never defrost your turkey on the counter. It can best be thawed in the refrigerator or in cold water. The refrigerator method is safest and will result in the best finished and most uniform product. Leave it in the original packaging, place it in a shallow pan, and again, you want to allow about 4 to 5 pounds for 24 hours to thaw out. If you're thawing in cold water, keep it in the original package, place in a clean and sanitized sink or pan, and submerge in cold water. Change the cold water every 30 minutes, and the turkey will take about 30 minutes per pound to thaw. Cook the turkey immediately after it is thawed, and do not refreeze. There is also the option, if you need it, of going ahead and roasting a turkey directly from frozen. And that is something that we'll touch on a little bit more next week, as well as some information about safety when cooking the turkey. All of this information is also available on the Iowa State University website. Till next time, I'm Kate Olson from Cass County Extension Office.